Well, I think there's a couple things. Number one, it's really overdue. You know, terrorism is not just something that comes from jihadists. You know, militants of many different ideologies can practice it, and certainly white supremacists are very active in this area. So it's necessary to recognize that, you know, they are terrorists and do have these international connections. Secondly, there are some really, I think, important practical steps and practical implications that go far beyond this symbolism. Number one is that it allows the government now to use statutes such as the material support of terrorism statute against white supremacists that are involved with this group, whether they receive training, whether they fight with them, or whether they provide financial training, or even by supporting them through propaganda. So it really gives the government some tools to go after white supremacists that are associated with the Russian imperial movement.
And do you think this might apply to other countries as well?
We've already seen other countries going out and really, you know, labeling white supremacists as terrorists. But certainly, I think on the other side, we could see the U.S. go after groups in other countries as well. I wouldn't be surprised to see them, you know, perhaps label the Azov Battalion in Ukraine, and perhaps other organizations such as Sonnenkrieg, and even organizations like the BASE, which has connections in Russia and the U.S., and even Atomwaffen, which is basically a U.S.-based organization.
Yeah, this group called the BASE, this is a particular concern to a lot of folks because supposedly, as you said, this organization is operating in the U.S., but the leader of this organization, it's my understanding, actually resides just outside of Moscow, maybe in St. Petersburg.
Yes, exactly. So, you know, basically having a group like the BASE with a strong U.S. presence, with their leader living in St. Petersburg, really is a great illustration of the transnational, the transnational, let me start that again. Sorry about that.
Sure, no problem.
You know, with an organization like the BASE being strong in the U.S., having their leader living over in St. Petersburg really shows the transnational nature of these white supremacist groups and really highlights the ability of the U.S. government to label them as a foreign terrorist organization.
So what does this tell you about what seems to be a transition from the focus on international jihadist groups and spending more time focusing on these domestic terror groups, and many of which are white supremacist groups? What does the shift in focus look like to you? Is this the new priority now, these kinds of groups, whether they're here or overseas?
I don't know if it's necessarily a new priority. There's kind of a narrative going on about that. But if you look back, really in the entire post 9/11 era, the U.S. government has been pretty aggressive in going after white supremacists. They were able to use many of the tools of the Patriot Act to go after groups such as the National Alliance in the past. And they have been fairly steady and fairly aggressive in going after white nationalists and white supremacists in sting operations where they can. But what I really think this does is gives them another set of tools to really be proactive. You know, you can now, because of the material support of terrorism statutes, you don't have to wait until they're making or planning a bomb to arrest them. You have other tools that you can use to be proactive and try to really interdict and interrupt attacks rather than wait for that attack planning to start.
That's Scott Stewart, Vice President of Tactical Intelligence at Stratfor. G.J. Green, WTOP News.